Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
I'm glad to welcome once again Dick Taylor. Dick, welcome back to the life study.
Thanks, Chris. It's good to be here with this most precious person, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Before Paul was converted to Christ, Dick, he was not one who had a problem loving material things, the material world. Quite the contrary, he was a person that was fully given to the Jewish religion, to philosophy, and to the culture of his time. His whole being was for Judaism, and for everything that was included in it. So when we read these verses in Philippians 3, how Paul, the apostle, counted all things loss on account of Christ, we have to realize he's talking about here giving up his Jewish religion, his philosophy, and his culture that were all referred to in earlier verses, and not the material aspects of the world. Dick, we'll hear today that we've come to the heart of this epistle, and that is found really in these verses in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. But what things were gains to me, these I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuse that I may gain Christ. Why should we consider these verses as the heart of the epistle?
Because Paul brings us to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. This phrase is derived from the precious person of Christ. I love the footnote in the Recovery Version, footnote 3 from verse 8 of chapter 3. I love a few sentences from this footnote, Chris. When Christ was revealed to Paul by God, he saw that the excellency, the supereminence, the supreme preciousness, the surpassing worth of Christ far exceeded the excellency of the law. His knowledge of Christ issued in the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. On account of this, he counted as lost not only the law and the religion founded according to the law, but all things.
Well, Dick, let's join Witness Lee as we jump into these verses, what he is going to say, the heart of this epistle. Here's Witness Lee.
We have really come to the center, to the heart of this book. The heart of this book. The central point of this book is right here from verse 7, 8. Verse 7 says, but what things were gains to me? No doubt, the things which were gains to the Apostle Paul referred to those religious things, to the qualifications which he listed in the foregoing verses 5 and 6. There you have all those qualifications, the things according to his status. Then verse 8 says, but surely I count also all things to be lost. All things means what? All things here means everything. Not only those things listed in verses 5 and 6, everything. If you read verses 5 and 6, Paul's concept here does not cover that much of the material things. Of course, material things, things which are worldly, surely they occupy people from experience Christ, no doubt. Yet, you have to realize what was in the Apostle Paul's concept that he did want to do the best to tear down these things that really frustrated people from experience Christ is not the so-called physical material things. You know what are these things? He mentioned already in verse 5 and 6. You could see in those two verses what is listed there mainly concerns religion. Based upon these and his other writings, like Galatians and Colossians, you have to realize what he meant mainly by all things in verse 8 is the culture, the philosophical things, religious things, and cultural things, and philosophical things mainly are not involved with physical material things. According to our human experiences, the material things and the physical things do not occupy the very thoughtful people. They mainly care for what? They mainly care for logics, for philosophy. They mainly care for culture. You consider when today you go out to preach the gospel, the strongest stronghold are what? Religion, culture, philosophy. My! These three things, religion, culture, and philosophy, are the stronghold.
Well, Dick, if we read these portions and if we study at all Paul's history, it's obvious when he says counting all things loss on account of Christ, he could not have been referring to the material things. There's no record of Paul being one who was occupied with material, physical things. Develop this thought for us a little bit, Dick, that Satan's stronghold, and this is a strong speaking, I realize, but his stronghold in this context has to be these good things, religion, culture, and philosophy.
Yeah, these things are not only a substitute for Christ, but Chris, they become the enemy against the enjoyment and experience of Christ. Paul was steeped in religion, philosophy, and culture. Religion, in its most basic definition, is worshiping God with no reality, experience, or enjoyment of Christ. So it's empty and vain. You can see Paul's so-called credentials as a religious man before he got saved.
Right.
In verses 5 and 6, he lists many things, even to the extent that with zeal he was persecuting the church, even killing the believers of Christ. But you notice in those religious credentials, there's not one thing about Christ. So religion means worshiping God, but no experience, enjoyment, or reality of Christ himself. And as long as you're in that realm, you also have a philosophy that is a result of that base. And then eventually you just have a culture or a living that's the issue of that philosophy. So you have religion as the base, you have the thought of that religion, which is your philosophy, and then you have the culture in your living, and these are all void of Christ. This epistle brings us to the experience and enjoyment of Christ. And Paul was very strong to expose these subtle enemies that are substitutes for Christ and that are even enemies of our enjoyment of Christ. We don't want anything to rip us off from the enjoyment and experience of Christ himself, especially these subtle enemies of religion, philosophy, and culture. So Paul said, I count all things loss. And these are the main things because that's what's revealed in the context of chapter 3. It's not just material things. If you really see these satanic subtle things of religion, philosophy, and culture, and you are able to count them lost, no problem counting material, physical things lost.
That's right.
This is the real source of the problem.
Yeah, Dick, when we have seen Christ even a little bit, get a little bit of a glimpse, there is a heart change that takes place rather quickly, really, that we realize the material and physical things we are so occupied with are very shallow. But these other things go much deeper in our being. They really get entwined in the fiber of our being, don't they?
They really do. And when you deal with them, no problem dealing with the material things.
Dick, in this next section, we're going to look even more closely at these three great hooks that Satan uses: religion, philosophy, and culture. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The enemy of God, through the centuries, due to the fall of man, he has all the time been using these three things to what? To hook people, to occupy people, to possess people from experiencing Christ. Man was made in the image of God for Christ. Man was made for Christ. We all must be for Christ. But Satan, the enemy of God, uses three things to hook people. Religion, then philosophy, then culture. Things in verse 7 and all things in verse 8 must refer to these three categories. In other words, you be assured, if you would drop religion, you would drop philosophy, you would drop your culture, you would give up everything to overcome material things, that is easy. But to overcome your religion, your culture, your philosophy, this is not easy. In other words, to overcome your thinking, your logics, your thought, this is not so easy. Let's check with ourselves. For us who love the Lord, to drop some material things, I don't think this is too hard. To give up a good house, that doesn't mean too much. But we would not drop a bit of our logics. You dear saints from China, have you dropped your Chinese philosophy? You may be bothered by my speaking. I said the same thing, some came from France. Oh, the peculiarity of the French people, Christ does not have much way. Christ does not have much way with the Chinese. He does not have much way with the Japanese. He does not have much way with the Indians in India. He does not have much way with the French, neither with the German, nor with the Scandinavians. On this earth, there's not one people the Lord has ever got through. Why? Every people is hooked by Satan's hooks. These are the hooks. Religion, philosophy, culture.
Well, Dick, I think he got to just about all of us in that portion, didn't he?
He surely did.
No one was unscathed.
Nobody.
In one sense, Dick, we realize we're running maybe a risk of offending people with such a word. But on the other hand, we have to be faithful. There was a burden here released by the Lord, the same burden that was in the Apostle Paul's heart in this chapter. Satan has used these hooks, religion, philosophy, and culture, through the centuries to keep people from experiencing Christ. We just heard he uses them to nail every people collectively on his wall. Dick, there are lovers and seekers of Christ in every culture. I know you travel a lot. Maybe you would develop this thought that is right at the heart of the entire book of Philippians and our experience of Christ.
I really appreciate, Chris, one thing our brother said in this section, and that is that man was made for Christ. We're not made for religion, philosophy, and culture, which are just substitutes and even enemies of Christ. Practically speaking, the emphasis in this book is that we would be those who really experience Christ. In other words, it's very possible to be a good American, to be a good Australian, to be a good Indonesian, to be a good Chinese, to be a good Japanese, and be absolutely void of Christ. In this sense, we must say we are not for religion, philosophy, and culture, but we are for Christ. Even we, as Americans, we appreciate America. God has blessed America, and we're happy to be here. On the other hand, we are here pursuing and gaining Christ, not religion, philosophy, and culture. We're here to live Christ. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." Our brother also referred to the book of Colossians, and I love chapter 3, verse 11, don't you, Chris, where it says, "The new man is where there cannot be Greek or Jew or this or that, but Christ is all and in all."
Right.
May this be our living, this most precious person of supereminence, the most precious Christ. May he be everything to us as believers in him.
Dick, obviously, when he was giving this message, we could tell he was speaking to a group that was internationally based. I think there was quite a variety of nationalities and races in the audience.
You could hear them all chuckling.
Yeah, you could hear them all chuckling and groaning, I think, as the light was turning from group to group. Maybe our culture in America might be more categorized as one that's occupied with the material and the physical. In a lot of ways, as marvelous as our life is here, and as much as you said God has blessed us, there is a very shallow and kind of superficial component to American culture. But nonetheless, if that becomes our culture, it also can veil us and keep us from Christ. In this coming portion, we want to look at a further practical word, Dick, helping us to overcome these three things. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Today, this certainty still remains within us to some extent, within you and me. We still have some subtle replacement of Christ within us. We still are not occupied by Christ. We still do not count all things lost on account of Christ. You believe me, if we don't touch the depths of this part of the world, we could never get into the real experiences. Since you began to be Christian, you got to know Philippians 3, 7 and 8. Paul counted all the things which were gained to him, lost on account of Christ. You got to know this. Would you please tell me? Since you got to know these two verses, had you some experience? Your experience of Christ by dropping material things is far, far off from the experience that is revealed in these two verses. Until you get into the depths of these two verses, you can never have the experience of Christ so deeply as revealed in these two verses. These two are not shallow verses. If you would get into, you know, this talk is more than practical. We are still filled with our domestic logics and national philosophy. This is the hidden enemy of Christ. This is the hidden replacement of Christ. By His mercy and grace, we must learn to say, on account of Christ, we count our domestic logics and our national philosophy lost. Why? Because this replaces Christ. This keeps us away from deeper, deeper, deeper experience of Christ. We may have experienced Christ a lot, but our experience of Christ has been just blocked. Many of us can say we don't have any religion, but you cannot say that you don't have any domestic logics and national philosophy. You got caught. We all have. This is the subtle replacement of Christ. This is a subtle hoaxing. Satan uses the domestic logics and the national philosophy to hoax us, to occupy us from further and deeper experience of Christ.
Dick, these are deep verses, and the experience that Paul is describing here is not a shallow one. He had achieved a remarkable level of advancement in the Jewish religion. He was a proud Jew, a God-serving Jew who valued that very, very highly. This is the nature of the kind of thing he was counting as dung here and as loss. We heard these terms again several times in this last section, domestic logic and national philosophy. What context is he applying these to in our experience?
It's so good to refer back to verse 8 of chapter 3. He said, I count all things loss. But usually our concept of all things is in the material and in the physical realm. But actually, this whole broadcast is exposing the most subtle enemy to us in our Christian experience. And that is this matter of religion, philosophy, and culture. And now we have this terminology, domestic logic and national philosophy. I believe this is just a finer definition related to these three, religion, philosophy, and culture. And the whole point is that nothing and no one should replace Christ in our experience. The main thing here is that the domestic logic and the national philosophy greatly and severely limit our experience and enjoyment of Christ. That doesn't mean we don't have any, but what is stopping you from experiencing and enjoying Him right now, even as you listen to this broadcast? Perhaps it's your domestic logic and your national philosophy. In other words, you are more somebody who's concerned with philosophy and logic, which are based upon religion, as we've seen in this broadcast, and issues in just a kind of a culture and a living. Nationally, it might be something greater, and you live in that context. Domestically, it might be your family. You celebrate birthdays, you do this, you do that, but there's not much experience and enjoyment of Christ. So Paul is exposing these subtle enemies that we would not be deprived of the experience of Christ, and that nothing would replace Christ as our enjoyment. Not even domestic logic, which means related to our living, or national philosophy, which is related to our kind of thought. We want the divine thought. We want the thought of the Bible, which is altogether focused on Christ. We want the divine logic, which is altogether focused on Christ. May no logic, no philosophy ever replace Christ. In God's economy, Christ is everything.
Amen.
May we enjoy Him to the uttermost.
Dick, you know, in America today, there's a lot of debate. A very hot political issue is this matter of so many minority groups becoming majority groups in different parts of the country. And you see this reflected even in the practice of the various expressions of the church in all kinds of places. Churches being identified as this nationality or this language, or perhaps even in our own church experience, our own church context, there are clusters of groups that have one culture or background. This is a major frustration to the Lord. The body of Christ is not and should not, and really in reality cannot be divided on such a basis, can it?
It cannot be. And like the verse we mentioned earlier, in the new man there cannot be Greek, Jew, or any of these things. It must be Christ is all and in all.
Amen. Thank you for your fellowship, Dick, on a portion of Scripture that's not that easy and seems to be quite easy at first glance, but when you get into it, there's much, much more. That is our Life Study program for today. Appreciate your help today. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.